Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Well, let's get down. Yo. I like this. The trial of Sean Diddy Combs, it is well underway. Cassie Ventura has been on the stand. Some of the escorts that Sean kind of used as like, okay, who do I want to watch bang my girlfriend today, have come onto the stand as well. It's a very unconventional lifestyle, at the very least. That's at least what the defense of Sean Diddy Combs is trying to project. But there's a lot going on here. Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. So far, it's been not good for Sean out of the gate, leading with the Cassie video, which is what pretty much turned the public against Sean, and then, of course, her own words. What's your take on how things have been going so far in the trial of Sean Diddy Combs?
Seems from reports that Cassie's testimony has really been compelling and credible and evocative and scary. At times, some of the graphic details that she has disclosed, a lot of people might think to themselves, a person wouldn't make that up. I wouldn't talk about being urinated on and hating it and everything if that completely didn't happen. Now, defense is going to have their chance to cross-examine her, and that hasn't been completed yet. But certainly her testimony is going to be impactful for this jury. On top of that, she's like 8 months pregnant on there, a very sympathetic witness.
Yeah, and willing to go and, you know, put herself out there. And my God, I mean, the things that she is testifying to, you know, obviously she's a victim in this, but I get why people don't talk about this shit, because nobody's going to want to put this stuff out there. I mean, it's so horrible. And you know, you'd sit there, you'd be ashamed, you'd be every emotion. At the end of the day, she was coerced and really groomed from the age of 19 to kind of become his sex slave, I think, for lack of a better term. And that's really disturbing, because this is not a relationship. And how well do you think the defense of Diddy is going to be able to argue that this is just an unconventional lifestyle after all of the bombshells we've already seen dropped just in the first couple of days?
It is going to be a delicate approach that they're going to have to take. I think that this jury is going to be jarred by what they've heard from Cassie, and they're going to want some kind of counterbalance from defense if it exists. I think defense has to go in there in a sensitive fashion, but also cull out some of the facts that are just favorable to the defense side. You know, Cassie did receive a $20 million settlement on the civil side based on coming forward with the same allegations. Doesn't mean they're not true, but these are ways that the defense has to approach some of these more sensitive issues in the case. Cassie did admit to drug use in a way that was voluntary, and at least the thrust of the testimony didn't appear as if she was like being constantly drugged all the time against her will. It was something, or at least not surreptitiously drugged. And so there are a number of tough issues defense is going to have to touch on. I'll be interested to see how cross-examination goes.
What have you seen so far that stands out to you as clearly like this is really going beyond the line of this is some sort of really freaky, weird, dark, consensual relationship where, it's not right. It's weird. It's unhealthy. You know, there certainly is illegal things going on here. We're having, you know, prostitutes come in or sex workers come in and provide their services. As of thus far, I mean, obviously abuse, all of that's all not good. But a lot of it looks like a horrible domestic violence case. How far are we getting into something beyond that, where this is, you know, in the territory of a federal trial with RICO charges and everything else?
Couple of things that came out recently in Cassie's testimony that I think are really legally significant. One is that she said she felt that she couldn't possibly say no to these freak-offs, and in fact that Diddy threatened to release tapes of the freak-offs if she did not comply. That is sexual abuse by coercion, and that is the sex that is at the heart of the sex trafficking charge regarding Cassie Ventura. Mm-hmm. On top of that, she testified to the rapper Kid Cudi's involvement. Yeah. Allegedly, she was dating him. Diddy found out, bombed his car. That goes to the RICO charge, a possible predicate offense, if they can somehow tie that to Bad Boy Entertainment. Mm-hmm. That part is still remains to be seen.
That's the part I'm wondering about, is getting the businesses connected into all of this. I mean, can that be done just by financial means and looking at the finances, you know, in a very forensic type audit way of, okay, were there any funds literally that were not just out of Sean Diddy's personal accounts, but they were coming out of the business, and the business was paying the bills for the escorts, was paying the bills for the, you know, the crates of baby oil or the pallets of baby oil, whatever it may be, just something that shows that dollars were spent from the business entity into his sexual fetish world or abuse world or rape world or whatever you want to call it. And that's where the money was transferred. It doesn't have to be everything, that all of this was funded by it, but does it just take a little bit? Does it just take, hey, guess what? Shoot, my card, I didn't bring it. All I have is a business card here. We're at Walgreens when I'm buying this cart full of baby oil. We got to use the business card. Does that make it RICO, or like how far do we have to go down the line of showing funding from the business that's helping all of this? Or is it even funding? Is it influence? Is it power on these other aspects of life for Diddy?
Traditionally, a strong RICO case involves criminal activity that is really in furtherance of the criminal enterprise. So you could think of like a street gang that it's criminal enterprise and it's dealing drugs, and that drug money is going back into the gang to fund the trap house or to fund clothes or whatever. Here, it's a different. What it is arguably the criminal enterprise facilitating some criminal activity, such as, like you said, paying for transportation, paying for hotels in which acts are undertaken, that kind of thing. By the letter of the law, it probably is enough, but does a jury want to see, like, hey, this is really like a criminal operation that's doing criminal stuff to further the operation? I think they do want to see that. And I'm not sure that we've gotten there yet. And Diddy's team is going to argue not only is there a disconnect between the acts and the criminal enterprise, but the acts that were going on in this hotel, according to the defense, were not crimes. And so they still have some outs on that RICO term.
It's going to be interesting to see where that gets. We have a missing witness, Jane Doe number 3, who has not been any sort of communication with the prosecution from the beginning of the case, beginning here in court. Former girlfriend allegedly initially opposed to testify under her real name, as well, was willing to put that out there. And now MIA, nobody can get a hold of her or her attorney. Is this cold feet? Is this someone going, you know what, I don't want to talk about this in public anymore? Is this someone that was influenced? Is this someone who was bribed? Is this someone who was, fearing for their own safety or life? I mean, it's interesting. Both the attorney and her MIA. What the hell do you think is going on here?
You know, this happens far more often than people realize in criminal cases. A case looks real strong on paper, but once you get in that gauntlet, not everyone wants to be there for a number of different reasons. Like you said, it could be that she feels intimidated or scared. It could be that she feels embarrassed and doesn't want her personal business put out on a national stage. It could be that she is walking back some of the things that she claimed happened. I'm just not sure. It could be any number of those reasons. But at the end of the day, what it means is the prosecution now only has three charges instead of fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's, how do you think that's going to affect this whole thing at the end of the day? Obviously, three charges are still pretty big in federal court. It's nothing to you know, sniff at, but it does reduce that down a bit. And it also may pose some difficulty connecting everything together, especially in the world of the RICO charges.
Totally. So different in planning, you know, as a prosecutor, in planning a case, you have your witnesses, you have your piece of evidence, and you want them to build upon one another and in order to get the proof you need to establish a charge. And so when you take one central witness out of that equation, that can muck everything up. You sometimes have to go back to the drawing board and re-strategize. On top of that, it could affect the juror's credibility in terms of, or the prosecution's credibility in the jury's eyes. If the prosecution said an opening statement, hey, you're going to hear from two witnesses who are going to detail to you all these crimes, and then one's not there, the jury starts to say to themselves, hey, what the heck? Do I need to take what the prosecution's saying with a grain of salt?
It happened in 2008 in the R. Kelly trial. That's the one where he was acquitted. Obviously, this is not the R. Kelly trial. There's far greater and darker charges here against Sean Diddy Combs. At the end of the day, even with witness Jane Doe number three not coming to court, not showing up, do you think it's going to impact at the end of the day whether or not the jury finds him guilty on the other charges and he's put away for those just because the one is missing?
You know, victim three, my understanding, doesn't have anything to do necessarily with the two charges involving Cassie Ventura. Cassie Ventura is testifying, and my understanding is she's doing a compelling job.
Yeah.
And so even with the absence of the other victim, the jurors are going to have days, weeks of evidence that they receive regarding these three other charges. Like you said, in federal court, you go down on one charge and you're going down.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.